This Sunday is Earth Day, and tomorrow marks the 180th anniversary of the birth of naturalist, environmental philosopher, and author John Muir. And his writings inspired our next guests. Ed Willett and Cheryl Leah are musicians from the town of Highbridge in Ashland County. They make up the husband and wife duo Chance. In 2014, they, along with two others, launched their program, John Muir, University of the Wilderness, which celebrates his work through music and song. The show has traveled across the United States as well as Scotland. Muir spent the first part of his life there before moving to Portage, Wisconsin. Ed Willett is a cellist, guitarist, composer, arranger, and vocalist. Cheryl Leah is a vocalist and poet. Ed and Cheryl, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Well, before we get to John Muir, let's talk about you two a little bit. You were both out west and came from pretty different musical backgrounds. Cheryl, tell us some about the story of how you met and became a musical team.
From my end of things, I was in a band that was perhaps a very strange band, but I loved it. It was eclectic and weird. It was an Afghani rock band. And
okay.
It was in the 80s when everybody was slamming and doing the, you know, new wave stuff. And so it was this really strange amalgam of new wave and Afghani folk tunes, which was weird by anyone's standards. And so Ed was in the string section of that band. It was a 7-to-9-piece band. And so we actually met in a group. And then we formed a Chance originally as a duo. It became a quartet for 8 years. With a bass player and drummer. And then back to a duo here. And for the show that we're talking about today, our show about John Muir, University of the Wilderness, it's called, we often go out as a quartet, but today we're here in the studio as a duo, so we fluctuate.
And let's talk about John Muir. Ed, how did John Muir become the muse for Chance?
For one, I grew up in the southern part of the state in the Portage area, actually outside of a town called Markazan, which is just a farming community. But we were stone's throw from Muir's homestead. And so my family, and particularly my father, was very much into Muir and what he stood for and just the naturalist way of life. So when... it was about, maybe 6-7 years ago, I felt like I really wanted to combine my artistic goals with something that could help the environment, possibly. And so we started looking around. Cheryl had written some things a while ago, this a great poem that we built a piece around. We wrote a piece for chamber orchestra and chamber choir called Fields, a Cantata for the Peaceful Rain. And that was built on a poem of Cheryl's, and probably 60-70% of this Muir show are distillations of those pieces. And when I started reading Muir and I noticed this correlation between Cheryl's poem and the way Muir wrote, I thought, well, they're talking about the same things. Sometimes they're even using the same language. That's the ticket. That's how we can put things together and have it feel seamless. So that's what we did.
America. We settled in the Wisconsin wilderness a few miles from the Portage, in a sunny woods overlooking a pond which Father named Fountain Lake.
Cheryl, can you talk about the phrase University of the Wilderness?
It was it came from something that John Muir actually coined, that phrase. And I don't know which particular reading or book it came from, but he was likening the woods to the University of the Wilderness. And he had a lot of analogies like that. A lot of the narrations that we use in our show come from some of his works that are just wonderful as far as quotes and things that he wrote. I've fallen deeply in love with John Muir's writings. I've been a big reader most of my life. And just the way that he wrote about everything that he did is just really entrances me. We took sections from a work called John of the Mountains, which was one of my favorite works of his. Story of My Boyhood and Youth was another one. My First Summer in the Sierra. And some of these readings are just fantastic, and I'm not sure which one of those that was coined from.
I actually...
Do you know that one?
Yeah, I do know that
one. We're not mere scholars, by the way. We just love the guy.
Yeah.
He's our Earth Day guy.
I remember that because there's a point in our program where Muir needed money, and he had to go and get a job, basically, and he went to Indianapolis and he worked in this factory, and he was so mechanically minded, as you probably know, you know, with his inventions, that he flourished there. And he said at some point it was so interesting to him that it threatened to endanger his work in the University of the Wilderness.
The need for money eventually drove me to take a job in a factory. I greatly enjoyed this mechanical work and was so successful that my botanical and geological studies in the University of the Wilderness were in danger of being seriously interrupted.
Ed, in this piece, I understand this isn't a musical biography of John Muir. This is a kind of an attempt to capture this unique character and his philosophy. So how do you do that?
Well, when we were picking, we were perusing many of his writings, and we looked for things that would motivate a person to become the very interesting and eccentric person that he was. So we used that as kind of a filter when we were looking through and poring over all of his writings. We were looking for things that maybe like a psychologist might look. Where did that motivation come from? And we came upon things that, at least in our interpretation, for instance, his very tough childhood and his demanding and commanding father may have had a lot to do with why he was driven to all his free time to be out in the wild, you know, just to get out of there.
We never thought of playing truant. But after I was 5 or 6 years old, I ran away to the seashore or the fields most every Saturday and every day in the school vacations, except Sundays, though solemnly warned that I must play at home in the garden and backyard, lest I should learn to think bad thoughts and say bad words.
And we were looking for things like that led to the shaping of this, just such an unusual and dedicated person.
So what we've tried to do on the readings and the music that we've chosen is to really show him in a multidimensional light, and a real emotional range of the man. He's not just sniffing flowers all the time.
But he did that.
He did a lot of that.
He sniffed some flowers.
He did
sniff flowers.
There's one reading where he goes, his method of study is to sit down by a rock.
For a minute or a day, to hear what it had to tell. I asked the boulders I met whence they came and where they were going.
Yeah. Cheryl, do you feel like, obviously none of us have met John Muir, given the time difference. Do you feel like you know this guy, having gone through this process?
I do. I really do. I think that sometimes when you write things, you get in a stream, and you believe that you're all by yourself in that stream, and then you discover something later that you have an amazing affinity for. And that's what happened to me as a poet and a librettist with John Muir's writing. He really spoke to me. So.
Hey, Rob, could I interject one thing on here? As far as the association between Cheryl and John Muir, my favorite one, one of my favorite parts of our program is this part where John Muir tells everyone that they shouldn't hike in the woods, they should saunter.
So saunter.
They should saunter in the woods. And if you've ever, well, you never have, but I'll tell you, if you go in the woods with Cheryl, you better have time. And you better be ready to look microscopically at 10 yards and not be have a goal, anything else except have a really great, fulfilling, enriching time. So when we found that, we just go, that's got to be in there.
Oh, I love that, because I definitely, if I am thinking the word hike, I'm covering some ground, man. I'm getting from the beginning
to the end.
Yeah, yeah, Cheryl, talk about your love. Maybe it wasn't intentional, but your love of sauntering in the wilderness.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I'm a microscopic creature. There's one reading I love when he talks about transmicroscopic creatures being our fellow mortals with man. And I've just always felt like that, that there's, you know, microcosms and macrocosms. And I've always been fascinated by that. And I love to stare at things. I love to ponder things. I close the museum down. I'm the last one there, reading all the things. And I just have always been that way. It was something innate.
Ed, we've heard a lot about Cheryl's kind of personal kinship with John Muir. Is there something about your character that you feel like connects with him?
I would say that I've always been one to look for an alternate route that's slightly off the main trail. So that's been musically what I've done my whole life. And but a lot of the influence came, I have to say, from my parents, who were Muir heads. You know, there were a few big influences in our household, and he was definitely one of them.
And Cheryl, as we wrap up, we're marking the 180th anniversary of John Muir's birth this weekend. Can you make a case that maybe we should all become a little more Muir heads ourselves?
I think he's got such wonderful ways to put things. I've always believed that words are carriages that take you somewhere. And I know his words certainly have taken me to some places that I loved going to. And I can't speak more highly of somebody who puts such beautiful phrases together and images. And so I would recommend anybody reading his stuff. It's really good.
Cheryl and Ed, thanks for talking and performing with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Cheryl, Leah, and Ed Willett are the team that make up the music duo Chance. We talked with them about their show, John Muir, University of the Wilderness. They'll perform that show this Sunday, Earth Day, at the National Great Lakes Visitor Center in Ashland. The show starts at 2 p.m. Chance also performed a few songs and readings for us from our studio in Superior. You can listen to those at wpr.org/centraltime.